Our New Testament reading for today is from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 11, verse 25, through chapter 12, verse 13. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I want you to understand this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the Deliverer will come from Zion, he will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regard to the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regard to election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gift and the calling of God is irrevocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient, in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in his generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For today's meditation on God's Word, we welcome Pastor Steve Constian from Timothy Lutheran Church, Woodstock, Georgia.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The devotion today is based upon the words of St. Paul that we just heard from Romans chapters 11 and 12. Why, God, why? Why are so many people in this country that at one time prided itself in being a Christian nation turning away from the historic truths of Christianity? Why are church membership and worship attendance figures down so much across denominational lines, especially when it comes to young people? Why doesn't the Word of God seem to be working the way it used to in the days of our forefathers? Why, God, why? Did you notice a sense of panic in those words? It's easy to slip into panic mode, isn't it, when we observe what's happening in our culture and can't quite figure out why. And what happens when we panic? Well, we begin to doubt God, we withdraw into ourselves, or maybe we conclude we have to tweak or change what God has given us to say and do to make this Christianity thing more appealing and more successful. Well, you know what? We're not the first generation of Christians to be mystified by trend lines in their culture. What questions might have bothered some Christians in St. Paul's day? Maybe questions like, why have so many of the Jewish people, the physical descendants of Abraham, rejected the good news of the Messiah God has sent? Why are those who, throughout their history, have been blessed with the very word and promises of God now turning away from the God who says he has fulfilled those promises in Jesus of Nazareth? Why, in some cases, are they even hostile to the gospel and trying to get in the way of those who want to share it? Why, God, why? Well, Paul has something to say in our text to Christians who find themselves in panic mode. He says, first of all, that in humble faith, we must leave to God what belongs to God alone, as hard as that may be for us. What belongs to God alone? Well, the way people receive the gospel, the numbers of people who are brought to faith, why some groups and cultures and generations in different times and places seem to be more receptive than others, these are inscrutable mysteries to us. These things belong to God alone as he works out his plan across the ages. We have absolutely no power over these matters, and that's very humbling to our human ego. On the other hand, it's liberating to be able to let go and leave to God what belongs to him. Because Paul makes this crystal clear to his readers too. God is still working a loving plan for all people, Jew and Gentile. Till the end of time, he will always stand by his promises that he has made to all people, Jew and Gentile, to forgive their disobedience and show them mercy. How can we be sure God is trustworthy? Because God has given his Messiah, his Son, even unto death on a cross, to atone for the sins of all people. And for the sake of that Messiah, Paul assures us, God will not stop working his loving plan until all Israel has been saved, until every single person he has in mind from every tribe, language, people, and nation will have been brought to the same saving faith Abraham was given and will have been grafted into the true everlasting Israel. That's the outcome we can count on. And that's all we really need to know when it comes to what's in God's unique sphere of operation. In the meantime, Paul says to his readers then and now, rejoice in this mystery, the most inscrutable of all. You have been brought to faith by the gospel. You have been shown God's mercy in Christ. You have been baptized, grafted into the true Israel that will be saved. You have been given unique gifts and talents from God himself to deploy in the body of Christ as it carries out its mission. Your mind is being transformed by the power of God's word so you aren't conformed to the patterns of this dying world, and Christ is in you to show himself, his love, his patience, his hospitality, his generosity, his mercy to the people you come across in your life every day. Somehow God has made all this happen for you, a one-time lost and condemned creature. Against all odds, he's made it happen for you. Why, God? Why? Some mysteries aren't so bad, huh? So, don't panic. Be who you are in Christ. Do what is given you to do. Let God take care of the rest. He loves you. He loves the world. A cross and an empty tomb prove that. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How inscrutable his ways. To him be glory forever. Amen.
We thank Pastor Steve Constian from Timothy Lutheran Church in Woodstock, Georgia, for today's meditation on God's Word.